Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharski, and we are pleased to go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist and former All-Pro defensive end, Jared Allen, to the program. Jared, how are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. You guys?
Doing really well. Great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Jared, obviously, it's such an accomplished career for you in the National Football League in Kansas City and Minnesota and Chicago. When you hear Pro Football Hall of Fame finalists, what comes to mind? I know this is your fourth time, so it's nothing new, but what comes to mind when you hear that phrase?
You know what I think? I'm like, well, you know the old adage, fourth time's the charm sometimes. No, it's always humbling. I think, you know, obviously my first being eligible, my first year, I was in the finalists with, you know, Peyton and one of the greatest classes, you know, out there. So that was a tremendous honor in itself to make it, you know, to be a first ballot finalist with that group. And then, you know, but I mean, it's never less humbling. So that way, it's always nice to know your career stacks up against, you know, the all times. And, so it's just one of the things, I guess I try not to pay attention to it, to be honest with you, because there's nothing you can do about it. It's a weird process where it's one of the highest honors and accolades you can get, and there's zero you can do about it. You know, so it's just kind of reliving, you know, things that were done, you know, almost a decade ago at this point. And, you know, but it's, again, it's always humbling. It's always, you know, one of those deals that's surreal. It's always, you know, fun to see your name up there again. And, you know, again, you just kind of, You hope it pushes through, but at the end of the day, it's like I said, you know, I can only use the word humbling as the best way, is because, you know, you go through that and you look at the accolades of, you know, everybody I've been on the list with from the first time I was on to this year, and it's always a great list of men.
So Aaron Rodgers says that you should be the single season all time sack leader.
I should be. I actually am. Yes.
Tell us of the play that was judged to be a run and a tackle rather than a sack that keeps you behind Michael Strahan.
So actually, it was a sack. They gave it to me. They took it away on Wednesday. So anyways, I'll start from the beginning. So they snapped the ball, right? Aaron catches the ball. As he's stepping up, right, he kind of pushes off a Newhouse. I'm bull rushing Newhouse back, and he drops the ball. Well, he picks it up, rolls out to it'd be his left, right, my right, and so he's fully capable of regained control of the ball again. He can fully throw it, still, he's behind the line of scrimmage. I tackle him, sack. Wednesday, they call it a muff and give it a team sack. So they take the sack from me and they give it a team sack. So it was never called a run. It was never called, and I've argued for years. I'm like, at the very least, and then I get half that sack because I'm on the team.
Yeah. What stage of the season was this?
This was a Monday night football game, I believe it was. Monday or Sunday night football game. It was probably middle. I believe it was middle of the season. So it was middle of the season, and, you know, so at the time we didn't know it was the 23rd. I'll never forget the three I know I missed that year was I hit Drew Brees on 1-2, right? Well, actually, I actually missed two that game. I had another one that game where I came through and I hit Aaron, and I went to celebrate, but he put a hand down and didn't fully go down, and Antoine was coming on the blitz, jumped on him. So I hit him. He kind of spun. Antoine jumped on him. I thought I got the sack, and they gave it to Antoine. So I thought I had three that game. I ended up, I think it was only one. And but, yeah, that play right there, I've fought it for years, and I'm like, I contested it. I'm like, how is this not? He fully was capable of throwing the ball again. They called him muff. But I was still in the league. I'm old enough to remember when that rule changed, because it used to be if the quarterback dropped the ball or was snapped over his head, you sprinted as fast as you could to get to him and touch him, because that was a sack. But that rule doesn't change, so that's the play. Every time Aaron sees me, he says, yeah, you know, you still are the you're still the single season holder in my book. And I tell him, well, I appreciate it. But, yeah, I missed three that year, those two, and then I hit Drew Brees on one, and they ruled it an incomplete pass. They said his arm was going forward, not backwards, and so not a fumble. And those were the ones I missed that year.
Meanwhile, another Packers quarterback just gives a guy a sack, and that counts.
Yeah, right. he went and rolled out and laid down. He touched him, and there you go. I'm like, that should have been called a called run. So yeah, it's funny. That's Aaron said. Right? So I watch it, and I'm like, how is that not 23?
So, Jared, obviously, we watch you for a lot of years, dominant for a lot of years. The numbers are ridiculous. But I think maybe something that's not talked about enough, or as you go through your case for Canton, the durability, the availability, which, as everyone knows, is a huge part of this. What about that aspect of your career? How banged up did you play? How often?
Oh, I mean, I think that's what I try. So my last 2 years, right, if you look at my last 2 years, I'm like, yeah, numbers dip, like blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't, my goal was always to have 150 sacks. So like, I still am like, I guess I was mediocre. But no, I mean, I laughed because guys today play, you know, they're out 2-3 week season injury, the things we played through, right? I played 2009. I played with a torn pec. My right pec is still torn to this day. You know, I played with, you know, multiple AC joints busted out, you know, my 2012 campaign coming off my 22, you would have thought, you know, everybody thought I was, you know, washed up because I only had 12 that year versus 22, but I played the whole year with a torn labrum. With my left shoulder. So I played, you know, played through that. My last 2 years, I blew my L5 out in Chicago and lifting. And I was like, all right, guys, am I going to pup there? Like, and I rest. Like, well, that's not an option. So I struggled with that my whole career. And then, like, literally, I asked him to trade me to Carolina. And having a great week of practice, a dude walked through, ran into my hip, blows my L5 out again, re-herniated the disc. And, I mean, I get through the halftime. We did the halftime of the Tampa game. I mean, all day, all night, the trainers were trying to get my leg to work. And I finally shut it down at halftime. We had a big league. And, I mean, I couldn't lift my left heel off the ground for 3 weeks. I only missed one game. I even got a bye week. So I came back, and then I played the Super Bowl with a broken foot. But yeah, I mean, that was like my, I pride myself in not missing games. I pride myself in being able to play through busted fingers, busted noses, you know, MCLs. I think, you know, every other week I had a torn MCL, I felt like. But yeah, you put a neoprene on it. You know, back then we had the torn off shot, which was fantastic. And you went on your way. And so yeah, I see guys missing games with MCLs or certain things these days. And yeah, you know, listen, everybody's different. Everybody's pain tolerance is different. But I took pride in it because I remember watching films like 100 Toughest Men and watching, you know, the Lamberts of the world, the Gifford, you know, these guys that were like, you know, hey, put some tape on it. We'll deal with it tomorrow. And so that was the mentality I always had. Right or wrong, I don't know. You know, maybe if I was healthy, I was more productive. But I always viewed that 70% of me was better than 100% of the next guy. So,
Jared Allen with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Jared, I've always wanted to ask you about this. You're in Minnesota. You guys are playing against the Lions, and you're coming off the edge, rushing into the end zone and chasing after Dan Orlovsky. And then all of a sudden, he runs out of the back of the end zone, and there's this beautiful camera shot of you, like, basically waving to him and laughing as Dan Orlovsky runs out of the back of the end zone for the safety. What do you remember about that play? What was going through your mind when you saw him run out of the back of the end zone? One of the all-time follies in the history of the National Football League.
Because first of all, I mean, I just smoked the tight end. I think I was laughing partly because I think they left the tight end one-on-one on the backside with me. And I was like, that was dumb of them, right? And if I remember correctly, I think Kevin Williams ended up he had like 4 sacks that game or something. And he had jumped out on like an early lead in the sack total for like, when, you know, in our own competitive world. And so a part of it was I'm chasing him, and I knew, you know, whoever was closest gets credit for it. And I watch him run out of bounds, and so I'm in disbelief that he ran out of bounds, and I just got an easy sack safety. I mean, it was going to be that way anyways. But then I was laughing because I think at that point Kevin had 2 or 3, or maybe even already had 4 in the game, and I was cracking up because we were already bickering with each other on who's going to have the sack lead by the end of the year, and I knew Kevin was going to be pissed that I just got a screaming handed to me that the dude ran out of bounds. Because earlier in the game, or there was another game, I can't remember, where like we were all chasing a quarterback out of bounds. I think Kevin might have somehow beat us to it, dove, and you know, he got credit for it. So I was laughing for many reasons. But, yeah, I remember watching him. And then you know, the whistle blow, but he's still running like he's going to throw the ball. I'm like, hey, hold up. No. You're out of bounds. That's a safety. I think disbelief, you know, obviously, again, our own personal, you know, back and forth that Kevin and I had going, I was cracking up about. But, yeah, it was that was one of the fun ones. It was, again, it's one of those things. I think Dan's got more out of that than anybody's ever gotten out of anything.
That's right.
Somehow that spring-loaded Dan's career on ESPN. But, no, he's always been – it's always fun to laugh about because it's one of those plays where, you know, the end result was going to be the same. I mean, he was running for his life. It was like when he got out of bounds, he kept running as if he was still in play.
Throw it. You mentioned you still have the torn pec. I'm presuming it does not affect your curling game. How is the Olympic dream going? I know you're competing in the curling nationals at the end of January.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. We got a pretty solid team right now. We got an event coming up here this weekend in Duluth. I'm trying to figure it out if I can make it. I heard we're going to have like 6 inches of snow rolling through here this weekend.
You better get out today.
I'm worried about getting back home. Like, you know how Nashville is. They even think about snow. Everything shuts down, you know? But it's going well. You know, we have a good team. We're competing hard. We've qualified for nationals, you know, last 2 years in a row. And this is going to be like my fourth nationals. So it's fun. It's a totally different dynamic, obviously. And again, I took a bet from a buddy to try to make the Olympics, and I try not to welch on a bet. I haven't welched on one yet, so I'm all in. But it's a totally different dynamic, a totally different skill set. I liken it to like your short game in golf, right? You gotta have finesse. Nothing other than just being an athlete helps me from my football career to curling. I'm big, so I can sweep hard. But other than that, you know, you got to be in control of your emotions, control of your adrenaline, and, make some touch shots when it comes to your rocks. So, but it's fun. It's a blast. It's a new challenge, and I've been loving it.
Talking to Jared Allen. Jared, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, you know, outside looking in, big NFL story of local interest. Of course, the Tennessee Titans move on from Mike Vrabel. What do you think of Mike Vrabel? What do you think of that move? What do you think's next for him and them?
So I obviously never played with Mike, played against Mike. I know Mike a little bit, you know, personally. Often never had a problem with Mike. I think he's an intense guy, right? Obviously passionate coach. You love that about him. You know, players, love him. Everybody that has played for him has spoke very highly of him. With that said, it's a results driven league, right? And I think so much in today's league, you have to pair your coaching types with your team structure, right? So I think, for example, if Mike had a veteran team, you know, I think he'd probably, you know, you're going to look at a perennial playoff guy, right? You're going to look at a guy who's going to take him and lead him. When you're in rebuilding structure mode, you got new quarterbacks, new nuances, new strength. You know, I don't know. You know, just from the outside looking, it seemed like when the nucleus of the Titans left, when the O-line started getting banged up, right, when quarterback play wasn't exactly when you had to lean on that, you know, when they were able to take Derrick Henry away and some of the defensive guys kind of got, you know, banged up over the years is when the numbers started to dip as far as wins and losses. But, I think Mike's going to have no problem, you know, finding a job. I think people, again, speak so highly of him. Players speak highly of him. You heard what Derrick Henry just had to say about him. I think his passion for the game, his passion, and the respect he has from players, that's what's going to translate. And like I said, with the right people in place, I mean, I think you look what happened when he first got to the Titans, right? And, I mean, every organization has roughly a 4 to 5 year, even when we were in Minnesota, you know, we had this crazy good defense. I mean, you have about a 4 to 5 year run before those pieces start aging and you got to start, drafting and getting those new pieces. So, like I said, I think he'll be fine. If I'm a team out there, a general manager, they're looking for a coach, you know, he's one of the top guys on the list because he's proven. Right. But I think I said, again, I think you put him with the right personnel, I think the sky's the limit for him.
The other two pass rushers on the Hall of Fame finalist list, Julius Peppers and Dwight Freeney. How well do you know those guys? And is it kind of weird? Like, is there like a forced rivalry now as to who gets in what order and the competition there? Or what's that dynamic like?
You know what? We know each other through reputation. Like, we see each other, we're fine, we're great. We always played against each other. I have an immense amount of respect for both, right? Dwight Freeney, he broke the mold for people getting paid, right? My contract in Minnesota was all based off of what Dwight Freeney got in Indianapolis, and my numbers were better than him at the time, and so I got more than him. And then we knew Pep. It was funny how it came about. Then Pep was coming up, right? And we told the Vikings, we're like, Pep's going to get broke off. Because Pep's one of my favorite players. Like, he is truly a guy that if he didn't want to be blocked, couldn't be blocked. You know, it was really up to him. I mean, I've never seen a guy that can play three technique and defensive end, and he probably could have been a 10-sack-plus-3 technique, and he, you know what I mean? So, Peppers, it was always a healthy competition. When you're, you know, I was always chasing the same, like, you know, DeMarcus Ware and I have almost identical careers, right? You know, I came in a year before him, he, you know, left a year after, same amount of careers. I mean, look at across the board, it's almost identical. And we were constantly pushing each other, constantly chasing each other. I was always laughing. The year I got 22, I'm like, breaking the single season sack record was like the least on my mind. I had Ware had 19 that year. I think Jason Babbitt came out of somewhere and had, you know, 17 or 18 that year. And I was like, I was just trying to, you know, be one of the only other people to ever, I don't think anybody's ever led the league three times in sacks. I was trying to, you know, lead the league in sacks for my second term. And so I was chasing those guys. And so, you know, watching video of Pep and Freeney and playing with these guys at the same time frame constantly was driving me to get better. Whether my play did the same for them, I don't know. But, you know, again, I try not to worry about things that are out of hand. So whatever order people get in or don't get in, you know, that's out of my wheelhouse, out of my control. So but with great players, obviously, again, like I said, I hold a dear spot in my heart for Dwight, because he kind of was the first to let people know, like, hey, a good pass rusher is the basically the kryptonite for a good quarterback, right? So, you know, I can hang my head high and say I competed well against those guys. I think, you know, my numbers speak for myself. Theirs do as well. There's a reason we're all in the finals. And now it's up to you voters to figure it out.
We will have a hearty and healthy debate, I assure you, and you'll be well represented. And I'm sure if it's not this year, it's coming.
Yep, no question.
Well, I hope so. You know, it's some. You know, always the bridesmaid, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't want to deny you your chance to use your fifth time's a charm.
Well,
line. Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, fifth time's the graveyard. Everybody knows.
Well, Jared, man, this has been a whole lot of fun. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Good luck with everything going on with you right now, from the Hall of Fame to curling. And, again, thanks so much for taking time to be with us.
Great stuff.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Jared Allen, our guest here on Robbie and Rexone. Awesome stuff there from Jared Allen. Really appreciate him taking time to be with us.